morning I kind of hope to start a new series. It won't be the book of Romans, but it has more to do with the church. And for that reason, we'll turn to the first chapter of Romans, verses 1 through 7. I'll explain in the sermon a little bit of what we'll hope to do and set out to do. Let's first then turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. This letter to the Romans starts as the following. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So far a reading of God's word. Continue to sing from Psalm 138. It's now stanza 4. So our text this morning, we'll be focusing on those verses of Romans, especially on that theme of calling, which is kind of condensed there in verses 6 and 7. I'll read them again. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, how do we do church? You know, it's a strange way to ask this question. And maybe some of you are thinking, objection, you know, that we don't do church, we are the church. But I think you know what I mean. If we didn't have any history, if this were, let's say, the first service that the Vernon Canadian Reformed Church was having, what would we do? What would that look like? How would we organize ourselves? How would we worship? It's maybe a strange question, but this is the kind of question that often gets asked on mission fields as when they get to kind of that point, saying like, okay, we got a group together, now what are we going to do? What is that going to look like? How are we going to be the church? It may happen at the institution of new churches where it's kind of, okay, we have this new group of people together, and what is maybe our purpose? How are we going to organize? How are we going to do things? What may be the flavor, the purpose and goal, the mission of this congregation? Now, maybe we don't have to ask those questions. Here in Vernon, we're not a new church. We've been around for quite a long time. Many of you members have been here for a longer time. You maybe know used to how things are. We have our way of doing things, and as soon as the minister starts asking, like, how do we do church? You may be thinking, like, oh, is he going to try to change some things? Like, no, don't have an agenda with this or anything like it. No, rather, I ask this question because more coming from that angle that when you have been doing things for so long and so regularly, the danger is that you're not actually intentional about it. It's like, well, that's always how we've done it. That's just how we do things. It's convenient, comfortable, or kind of just maybe coasting with it. Maybe also don't appreciate what we have. We're not sure why we do it that way anymore. And maybe we even just forget, like, why did that actually matter? It kind of all just happens, right, as you get comfortable and used to things. And so over the summer months, I hope to review some of these basic concepts, mostly just those where the scripture or the Bible teaches us about what the church is, that describe the church. Because as soon as we know what the church is, we kind of start to understand of what we are to do. We kind of tie together. Maybe a little bit more of a topical series this summer. So, you know, when you're out camping or maybe visiting family, you're not going to miss half of a passage or a book that we're going through. Maybe then with some fresh reminders, we would be more intentional. We may know why some things matter. And why it's maybe not just about, like, oh, this is how we've done things before. So this morning, we'll consider what it means that the church is called. Under that theme, Christ Church, you are called. And there are many different passages in the New Testament, too, that we could look at to see, hey, we are the church, we are those who are called. And even in the Greek, it kind of fits with the word for the church, that it's the called out ones. And so it happens more and more. But maybe one of the best passages is that one that we just read, Romans 1. So even there, at the beginning of this letter, you notice that Paul uses a number of different phrases for the church. You are the beloved of God. A wonderful concept. We'll probably get back to that one more at the end of the series. But then he also calls us, in verse 6 and 7, you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Called to belong to Jesus Christ. And in this Romans 1, this theme continues because he reiterates that. He says, to all in Rome who are loved by God, loved, and called to be saints. Called to be saints. So he right away attaches a calling to a purpose. There's a purpose to this calling. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And yet that's not all that this passage talks about calling or refers to calling, because it's actually right there at the very beginning of this letter. It's even before Paul refers to it. So right away he starts his letter. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. From the rest of the letter to Romans, we know that Paul is a little bit defensive in this letter. He's kind of A, defending maybe some accusations. B, he's careful because he's like, I've never been to Rome. I know a lot of people there. It's the last chapter, he goes through all of the list of people that he knows in Rome. But he's like, I haven't been there. I didn't establish this church. I don't want to encroach on someone else's ministry. But, you know, I do want to help you out. I do want to tell you who I am before I get there. And in that kind of a purpose, he right away starts his letter also somewhat with his credentials. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Right away reminds everyone that he's writing to, saying, like, I'm an apostle, but I didn't choose to be one. I was called to be an apostle. And if you know your Bible and you know the book of Acts, you know that Paul's calling was maybe one of the most vivid callings within the whole Bible. And here he goes off to Damascus with papers in his hand to go and persecute the church, the Christians there. And on the way, Jesus appears to him, stops him in his tracks, and basically just turns his life upside down. Instead of persecuting the church, you're going to build the church. This apostleship wasn't what Paul had in mind. It wasn't what he was looking for. It's not what he had chosen for himself. He's called to be an apostle. And he says right away that as an apostle, he was then also set apart for the gospel of God, set apart to call others. And this is how the theme of calling continues. Because in verse 5, he says, through him, through Jesus, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles. Paul had been made an apostle with that purpose, and then also go and call others. And call Gentiles to come to the obedience that comes from faith. And he says to the Romans, you too, Gentiles, are those who have been called into disobedience, called to belong to Jesus Christ. All this talk about calling, but what really is it? What kind of calling are we talking about here? I mean, in everyday life, we may talk about a calling that someone has because, you know, maybe there's a task, a job, a ministry that you feel compelled to do. Or maybe that you have encouraged, people have encouraged you to do it because you have the gift or the talents. Or maybe it's just a vacancy, a need that you think, you know, God is calling you to fill. Is that really what it is? Or is a calling like always like that kind of vivid, this is what Paul had encountered, you know, an audible voice, brilliant light. Is that what calling is? Well, in some ways, you'd see that in Scripture, calling can come in different ways. Consider the rest of Scripture, you know, see the theme of calling comes again and again. Think about what God did for Abraham. Here he's living his life in Ur of Chaldeans, and God calls him. He called saints through dreams and visions. In Abraham's case, he calls him to leave his country and to follow him, go to an unknown land. Yeah, that's a very individual, particular calling. But at other times, you know, God will say, I called my people out of Egypt. Well, how did he do that? Well, he sent someone, Moses, to go and preach, tell them his word, tell them his promises, and do signs and wonders to then lead them out. Moses, his prophet, was his voice to Pharaoh and to the people. God was there. He was present and visible in all of those signs, but he didn't speak to them audibly, individually, until, you know, Mount Sinai, where he speaks to his people. If you go through Scripture, and you'll see that God calls sometimes individuals very particularly. Think of like Samuel, it's just another example. But other times, he calls his people as a whole. Prophets are sent to call his people to repentance, to call him back to him, or lead them out of exile and slavery. And so also in the New Testament, God called Saul as an individual, but then he's also Saul, or Paul, by that time, now you have to go out and preach this gospel to the Gentiles so that they too may believe, so that they too would be called. From Scripture, we learn that anytime the gospel is preached, anytime the gospel is shared, there is that earnest call to believe in Jesus Christ. Difficulty is, of course, that many may hear the gospel, many may hear called through it, but not everyone believes it. That's why we often may sometimes even distinguish between there's an outward call, you may hear the word, people may understand the concepts and know kind of who Jesus is, but they just don't respond with faith. They won't follow Christ. They won't respond to the gospel. This is why the more is needed. There's also, for us to believe, there's that inward call that pulls us to Jesus Christ so we belong to him and respond to his call with faith. And I hope you know this. You may also sit here this morning and look at that theme saying, Christ Church, you are called, and you say, yes, I am called. But if not, then also consider the message this morning and the words that we have read as a sincere call to then put your faith in Jesus Christ and to follow him as your Savior. That's more on that theme of calling, but okay, so what's now the big deal? Why start with this? Why focus on the fact that the church is called? Of course, there's always a couple of different reasons. But let's start with the most important one. When we remind ourselves that the church is called, we remind ourselves of the gospel story of grace. You have been called by God. When we say that we are the called ones, we say that we're not the ones who went out looking for God. We're not the ones who took that first step to say, hey, what, you know what's a good idea? I should start a church, or I should become a member of it. It wasn't you who all of a sudden said, maybe I should be more spiritual. When we say that we've been called, we confess that it's not us who brought us here. We're simply listening to a voice, a call, simply responding to the best news that we've ever heard. And that really seems to also be what Paul has in mind and envisions as he uses that word, those terms here at the beginning of Romans 1. Didn't you notice it? Once again, it's kind of like where Paul is going on and you can't quite follow him. That's why they have the dash there too, or the line. You know, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. It's as if his first time he mentions gospel, he's like, let me tell you what the gospel is. Let me tell you what it's all about so that before you can close this book or you may hear something that you don't like about me, still defensive, you know what the gospel is and what I really preach. What I preach is the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Just in that summary fashion says, here, this is what the gospel is about, our Lord Jesus Christ. This ancient and consistent promise that was prophesied and promised long ago by God through the prophets, it's always been there, the same message again and again, that the great son of David would live and he would reign and he would set up a kingdom. And that is what our resurrected Lord does. He's living. He's active because he's that resurrected Lord. He's building a church. He's calling apostles. He's calling Gentiles even. Gathering in a people through the call that goes out around the world, wherever the gospel is shared. The life, the reign, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is front and center in this summary of the gospel. And how could it be otherwise? Because there's that refrain that he is the one who lives and reigns and he's the one who is calling. When we say that we're called, we confess that there is a Lord and there's a King who builds his church. There's a Lord and a King who has a claim on our lives. And in a wonderful way, he has made us his own. He has called us to belong to him by the power of his resurrected life. It's the reminder that the only reason that we're doing what we're doing is because there is a King, a Lord who is living and active and made the first move. That's why Christ's church consists of those who are called. And we can appreciate that there's a rich variety and a wonderful uniformity to that. So when you look around this morning, or maybe you do as you know, we get up and go out of the auditorium, and we come to know people, and learn that they too have been called by Jesus Christ. There's a uniformity in that. And yet there's a wonderful variety because as we looked at all of, like, even the Old Testament, callings came in so many different ways, so it also happens today. So many stories can be very different from your own. Maybe you'll hear of someone who's similar to Paul had to make like a 180-degree change to their life. Maybe at that time they didn't even know exactly what was going on or what was happening to them, but in hindsight they realized, that was Jesus calling me. Could have been quick and drastic over a short period of time, could be a long period where Jesus Christ, that King, is just chipping away at all of your defense layers and redirecting your life. But others may have a very different story of God's grace and power. You know, raised in the church all of your life, baptized, you know, first week you were born or so, and I've been a member of the church ever since. Maybe without much change. It won't be a dramatic story, but great sign, a great reminder of God's love, where he calls you from the very beginning and then never leaves your side. Maybe it was a road that was more difficult. You started in the church and went back and forth. Speaking of that inward, outward call, you may have at times been like, oh, I know the gospel, but I don't want to respond to it. I try to push God away, try to run away from him, and yet inwardly knowing somehow that he's at work there. And as much as you ignore that call, could not ignore his pull on your heart. Every story would be different. And yet, every time we think about the fact that we are called, it's going to be a witness to God's power and his grace. His grace because we know that there is no other reason for God to have called us. Right? Why did he call you? We're all sinners. As Paul later on is going to say, we all fall short of the glory of God. We haven't honored him or worshipped him as we ought to. So why would God have called you? There is simply no reason but his grace, his mercy on you as a sinner. Because of the work of Jesus Christ. Because of that King who calls people to make them his own. That King who is a redeemer who gave his life to save sinners. And to call us to eternal life. That is the genuine call of the gospel for all. Believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord who saves. Trust yourself to God's mercy and grace. But every story is also going to be a witness to God's power. Because we're sinners, and we also know that we don't like listening. We're not going to listen to God's voice naturally. And if we would collect all of the stories, we'd probably have many, many examples of that. Rebelling, trying to escape, keeping your distance from God, and yet somehow, God then breaks that resistance down. His word breaks our hardened hearts. He opens our blind eyes to see how we need Christ and how he is the only way, leading to the confession that God loved us first and called us out of darkness into his glorious light. And when you take that together, then what does that teach us about us, the church? Well, A, it reminds us very clearly that the church is the work of Jesus Christ. Right? He's the one who reigns and who lives and who's the King. And that should be a no-brainer, maybe even the very first thing we ever believed about the church. It's the work of Christ. And yet it may be more difficult to act accordingly. Just when the church is doing well and things are going great or they're just quiet, we're maybe tempted to pat ourselves on the back and say, look, we got things together, we're doing pretty good. Maybe, look at the role that we played. We figured it out. If we just keep on doing this, we'll probably succeed. Whatever success looks like. Well, then when things are going bad, we think we got to fix all of it. And it's going to depend on me. It's going to depend on you. It's going to depend on us. And are we really up to the task? Now, there's no denying we all have a role in the church. That's what calling is also about. We'll get to that as we go through this series as well. But from beginning to end, the church is always the work of Jesus Christ. And the only way that things are actually going to happen is by relying on his power and grace, relying on his calling. And if we continue to remember that we are the ones who have been called, we'll be able to keep that in mind and to keep that balance, knowing that there is a purpose, but we do not do that on our own strength. Because it's Christ who brought us here, and it's to him that we'll be looking to do all that we need to do. But secondly, as we consider that we've all been called, we're ready to confess that as much as we are different, we're also all the same. Right? All of these stories may be different. Even our lives may be different. Opinions may differ. Different view on how things are going to be done. The book of Romans is also going to play that out because there's going to be divisions in the church. There's going to be struggles, different opinions. And maybe sometimes we look around, it's like, why is that person here? They're so different. And yet if when we're reminded that we are the church and that we are those who are called, we realize, like, well, they're here because the King called on them. We realize that everyone has equal reason and right to be here because it's not about any of that, but about listening to the voice of Christ. So that where we may be tempted to focus on and see or just the things that differ and divide us, the calling of Christ is that which brings us together. And when it comes to this calling, we're all going to have to confess the same thing, that we're only here by God's grace and His power. And we do that in stories that may be very different and yet so similar. Or as Ephesians 4 says, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. And lastly, the fact that we are those who have been called also reminds us that the purpose and the goal and really also how we do church is also going to be received from the Lord. Because the church isn't our work, it's also not to us to, you know, as a church to try to figure out, like, oh, what could we do? What is our niche now today in society? Or just to say, like, hey, let's just do what we're good at and what we feel like doing. And if maybe, like I mentioned in the introduction, if you found that you're maybe not very intentional about church life and going through the motions, used to things, maybe consider this point. You've been called. You weren't born in the church. It wasn't a birthright. It wasn't an inheritance. It wasn't also up to you. You didn't choose to come here. You're not here to just get your fill and go on again. It's also not an exchange of services. Some people do something for you. You can contribute in some other way. You're also not here because ultimately some obligation to a friend or a family member or an office bearer. Jesus, the Lord, the King, called you. And of course, as He called us, then He also has a purpose for us, a calling for us. As Paul mentions, a calling to belong to Jesus Christ. A calling to be saints. As individuals and as the church, we all have a purpose, a task received with our calling, received from the Lord. It's not something we get to set ourselves. Is that on our mind as we involve ourselves in the church, being members of the church? And not just there, like, is that on our minds as we will go from here and go into our week and do what we ever have to do? Are you intentional there that because you've been called, you have that clear identity that I'm a disciple, I'm a student, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? So I look to Him, not just to what suits me or what I want to do. And we'll have more time to flesh out what the church is called to be in the coming weeks, over the summer. But let's, first of all, start this morning with that reminder that when we consider that we are called, we have that wonderful sign of God's grace and His power. And so as we consider our calling as individuals and as the church, let us be reassured then also that when God calls us, He also gives us what we need. And that's a wonderful thing. He says, no, don't do this first, then you can join. No, He says, I call you to be saints. I called you to belong to me. That's the promise that comes with His calling. And you likely know that from your own life, time and time again, right? You face new challenges, you enter a new chapter in your life and you maybe wonder at the time, like, what is this going to look like? How am I going to get through it? But you seek to be intentional. You seek to do what God has called you to do. And somehow the Lord provides a way. Somehow he gives you what you need. And so let us then also be faithful in our calling as the church, so that we find the same things to be true again and again. Because we are Christ's church. We are his called ones. Amen. And as we're called to belong to Jesus Christ, let us also sing those words from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. So hymn 64, stanzas 1 and 2. This morning, once again, we have the opportunity to share the gifts that God has given us. This morning, the collection will be for Canadian Reformed World Relief Fund. And then after that, we'll turn to hymn 81 and sing stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4.